Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about it, again, in this league, you know, it's about their availability. And no matter, you know, no matter how good you are, you're only as good as your availability. So at the end of the day, you know, you got to be available and you got to be on the field. No matter, you know, how good you are, if you're not on the field, then it's next man up. So
right.
For New England, I think this is a gamble they're willing to take because they've done so well, you know, making moves, you know, these past few seasons, just rebuilding after, you know, Brady has left and keeping the train moving. They can afford to go out and make a move like this because they're sitting so well in, you know, all the other areas on the roster. And at the end of the day, it's if it pays off, then, you know, you're the smartest man in the world if it pays off for him. So we'll see, man. I think, you know, I like the move they made. It's a gamble. But what did they have to give up for him? Was it a fifth? Something like
probably
that?
Probably nothing.
I can't remember. I think it was like
probably nothing.
I'm finna go and look at it right now. That's what we have. Okay, so yeah. Yeah, it was a 2022 fifth round pick. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm reading this right. Miami Dolphins trade veteran receiver Devontae Parker and a fifth round pick. Oh, they gave up him and a fifth round pick to the Patriots for a 2023 third round. So that's next year. They get a third round pick next year for acquiring Devontae Parker. The Dolphins will get a third round pick next year.
They still won.
they still. Let me make sure I'm reading this right.
And Parker is probably 28, 29?
Yeah. Parker is 29. Yep.
29. Major injury history.
So you think they looking at Parker to come in and be their number one guy or just?
Yeah, they have to.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
But the fact that he doesn't need to be the number one guy because they have their tight end like Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
And former boy from he was from San Diego.
What was San Diego?
Tight end.
San Diego.
Oh man.
San Diego. Tight
I'm bad with names right now. He was supposed to be the next in line with when old boy retired. And
I'm lost too. It's gonna come to me like tomorrow. I'll be sitting there just not thinking about it.
They got solid tight end. So they're gonna ease the pain for the tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, tight end in today's league, you know, it's very important for a lot of teams to have that solid tight end that can do both, or have multiple tight ends that could go out there and, you know, do like a by committee type of rotation. Or you can go double tight, or you could do some other things with it. So the more you got in the stable, I think the better off you are as a franchise. So let's go back a little bit to the Bucks situation at tight end. All right. So me and you, and for the people that's listening, that's watching the stream on Twitch, a few on Bucks Life that's been tuning in and out. We about to get into a little bit of a, you know, conversation here. So many years ago, the Buccaneers drafted this tight end out of Alabama by the name of O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard.
And me and Left Field Correspondent was on the show at that time saying
his thought
that was a bad pick. Now, yeah, you all can say, yeah, you can say that now that it was a bad pick. Listen, I'm finna throw this link in here. You see that link down there at the bottom? RatPackSportsShow.podbean.com. Go back about five years when we drafted O.J. Howard. It'll be a couple shows after the draft when we was on this show talking about the O.J. Howard draft pick, and neither one of us liked it. We didn't like it because on the college level, he flashed. He didn't show enough consistency, and he had a drop season in college. A ton of potential. And potential gets you what? Fired. At the end of the day, potential gets you fired. And for us, we don't really go off of potential. Now, me and Left Field Correspondent had our debates, very strong debates. But we normally agree 98% of the time on
98.
Yeah, 98. Anything Bucks related, football related, whatever it may be, we usually agree because we all see eye to eye. And, you know, the Rat Pack, we got like four, five, six of the greatest minds that there is out there. We just not getting paid for, you know. But somebody give us a show, pay us a lot of money, we get all us on the round table. Yeah, right. Yeah, look. Give me the money. But you know, we do a good job at just breaking down stuff. So we didn't like O.J. Howard, and it never panned out. Never. I don't think. I'm trying to think. Was there ever a time during O.J. Howard's time here where he had like a stretch of just awesome games?
Probably his first season.
First season? Yeah.
His first season. And it wasn't really awesome, but you saw potential.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, you had Jameis, who was a young quarterback, and I guess the idea was, here we have the rookie franchise guy in Jameis at the time, and the tight end, again, is the quarterback's best friend when they get in trouble. So they was looking at that as kind of being that pairing that they'll be together for a while, but O.J. just never blossomed. He never blossomed into anything other than a guy who stayed in the tub and somebody that potentially could be great, but just never came around. So now we're in a situation. O.J. Howard's gone. We have Cameron Brate. I like Cameron Brate for what he is, but you need more. For, you know, in the passing league, Cameron Brate is more like a possession tight end, a guy you're going to hit underneath, a lot of checkdowns, you know, a really good red zone target because he does have really good hands and he catches the ball in traffic, but He's not going to stretch the field and give you that option you need as a big threat in the passing game far as vertical. So now what do we have? Just Cameron Brate. Gronk saying that he's not in, you know, football mode right now. So he's not even really made a decision on if he's going to play or not. Even if he does, you still have to go out there and get you a tight end because, as we can see, Gronk is not going to be around that much longer. Brate is what he is, a solid number two tight end. And you have a quarterback in Brady that likes to go downfield, stretch the field. And it, I think it'll take a lot of stress off of Godwin and Evans if you had that guy in the middle of the field. And even Gronk, at this stage in his career, he's not as fast as he was in New England. And he's not stretching the field anymore like he was before, which I don't have no problem with because Gronk is still a beast when he's on the field because he could do both things in the passing game and the running game. He's just as effective. So I don't mind having Gronk, but being that Gronk is at this stage of his career where he's year after year, you know, contemplating if he wants to continue to play, at that point, I have to look at moving in that direction of life without, you know, Gronkowski. So if I'm the Bucs brass, I'm looking at tight end. This draft is loaded with tight ends. Go and get you one of them, please. Please go and get you one of them. We need a lot, but, you know, previously before Gronk came back, we were all sitting up here like, what are we going to do? We have no quarterback. I was ready for the rebuild. I don't know about you, left field. I was ready for the rebuild. So
I've been ready for the rebuild.
I didn't care. You know, we got Brady. You were saying it. It's all or nothing. I was saying, hey, we got to get to at least the Super Bowl for it to be a success. In your eyes, you were saying, if we don't win it, it's a bust. So the first year, we win the Super Bowl. At that point, everything was worth it. And last season, to me, was just, you know, if we win it, great. We back to bat. If we don't, I'm good. We won our Super Bowl. So if Brady comes back, he does. If he doesn't, I actually like Kyle Trask at Florida for what he did, for what the weapons he had. I actually like what he did at Florida. So I know, man. So I actually like what he did at Florida. So for me, it was more like, let's give the man a chance. You drafted him high. You got to see what he's going to be able to do. Brady's retired now, so give him a chance. Let's see what he can do. If it doesn't work, it don't work. You know, go back to the drawing board. But, I was ready. And then Brady comes back like a thief in the night. He takes everybody's heart again, announces that he's returning, and then now it's, you know, one more time, let's do it again. Listen, I'm going to be real here, folks. We didn't win the Super Bowl this year. Where did we lose at? Second round? Yeah, we lost to the Rams in the second round. So I could go down the list right now, and to me, I could give you a idea of the teams that I think are better than the Bucs right now as we currently construct. This is before the draft. So obviously, we will look to improve in the draft. Obviously, these teams that's ahead of us will also look to improve in the draft. So we were 13-4 this year. Can we win 13 games next year? I'm not sure. But what I do know is You have the Packers that, you know, pretty much status quo. I mean, they gave up Adams, but I'm going to go on record right now to say Green Bay got some up their sleeves. You just don't offload a guy like Adams without a plan in place of, you know, bringing in some guys or drafting some guys. But Green Bay know how to play. I think the move that's going to hurt Green Bay more than Adams is, I think, letting Valdez-Scantling go. I think Scantling would have been a guy with Adams not there that could have stepped in and been that guy. But the Rams, you know, Rams are Super Bowl champions, so we can't be better than them until we figure out how to, you know, play defense against the pass. We did make some moves in free agency to go get some safety help. But I didn't necessarily feel like safety help was what we needed. I personally thought we should have went out and got some more corners. But, hey, that's just me. That's just me. Left field correspondent, you know how. Hey, listen, folks. Left field correspondent, me and left field correspondent has been proponents for this team to just gut this secondary and start over, man. I'm just being real now. To me, our secondary is not that good. We can go, and I've had a lot of people send me, you know, screenshots of and links of defensive efficiency numbers and all of that, and that sounds good. But defensive efficiency is really a stat that could get mixed up, especially when you're playing, like, really bad teams. It could look really good. But then against the championship-type teams, bro, we ain't stopping nobody. We're not stopping nobody. And we haven't. We haven't stopped anybody for the last 3 years. And previously before that, under Mike Smith, And Lovey, we weren't stopping nobody then. So me and left field correspondent, we're talking about, let's see, 3 years under Arians, 5 years under Lovey, and
no, 3 years over Dirk.
Yeah, 3 years of Dirk.
We only had 1 year with Lovey.
1 year with Lovey. Okay, 1 year with Lovey. I think it was 4 years with Dirk Cutter, dude.
Yeah.
Hold on. 4 years. Lovey was fired after what, the second year?
The second year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was 3 years with Dirk. It was 3 years with Dirk. So and that vanilla ice Swiss cheese defense we had there. And now on the areas
It's not better.
To me, it's not better because we're not showing up against the teams that have a championship pedigree. So until we start showing up against the teams that's got a championship pedigree, I don't want to hear nobody tell me we got a good defense. Because I'm not just looking at numbers. I'm not just looking at numbers. I'm looking at, you know, the tape against the teams that we got to beat to win championships. I don't care about what we do against Detroit. I don't care about what we do against the New York Giants or the Chicago Bears, which we did lose to the Bears, so that's even terrible. You know, the Atlanta Falcons, they're not Carolina Panthers. Those are not championship teams. But we played the Rams twice this past season, lost both of those games. We got beat down. You know, we lose to the Washington Commanders. At the time, was the Washington football team. We lose to them. First game of the season, we open up against Dallas and Dak Prescott, and the game lit us up. Every time we faced a formidable opponent, when it came down to the passing game, we did not do well. We gave up a lot of yards, and we gave up a lot of points. So, you know, and we lost twice to the New Orleans Saints. And the one game they beat us 36-27, and then they turn around and beat us 9-0. So, and we nearly lost to the Jets, 28-24. That was the Antonio Brown game when my boy threw up the deuces and, you know, did jumping jacks going off of the field. So, I mean, hey, we got to be better against the championship teams. And that's what I'm looking at. When I talk about our defense, I am looking at championship defensive, championship offensive teams, because when you get in the playoffs, that is what you're going to be faced with. So we'll be in the conversation because, you know, we're good enough to be in that conversation. But you know some teams are going to adjust. You know, all those rumors of Kyler Murray and all that coming to the Bucks, and you know, Arizona Cardinals, a young team. That's, listen, San Francisco, they came on so hard late in the season, bruh. You can't overlook them. That team is serious. That team is a serious contender, and a lot of their losses were very close. They play defense. You know, left field correspondent, since you here, I'm in a, you know, as you are, we're in a few Buccaneer groups.
I try to stay away from
you. Yeah, right. My argument was our defense, you know, we don't have a good defense. And somebody responded and said, well, there's no more teams playing good defense in today's NFL because it's a pass happy league. So
that's a lie.
I think we're pretty good. I flat out called them out. I said, you must don't pay attention to the rest of the league, because there's some teams out there that are playing defense, and they're pretty good playing defense. Yard standpoint, points per game, there's about, and this is shocking, but the Buccaneers look like they, you know, yards-wise, per game-wise, finish maybe like 12th in the league. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th in yards per game.
And that's not good.
That's still not good. You're giving up 331 yards.
That's terrible.
Per game. Now, the average, the top 10 are at about 329. But here's the difference. Let's go to just passing yards, because that is the difference to me in today's NFL is passing, right? So let's go to the passing-wise. Now the Bucs are sitting in the 20s. Overall, yards per game-wise, they're up there. But that's because rushing-wise, they're at the top of the league rushing.
Right.
So, but passing, stopping the pass, we dropped all the way down to like 21 at 238 yards passing per game. Now, this is where my argument is for people. When I say passing wise, we're not good. This has been my argument. I said our pass defense is trash. I never said our run defense is trash. Buffalo Bills. In 17 games, only gave up 2,700 yards passing. That is the whole season. That is 163 yards per game passing.
and a caveat too.
And their best cornerback got hurt like halfway through the season.
That's what I was gonna say. He got hurt like what for the last three or four games?
Yeah.
So
again, folks, when I make these arguments, on the Buccaneers, you know, pass defense, bro, I've already done my homework. I already done enough research to come to the table with this. So you cannot convince me otherwise, because you would be wrong. You would be wrong. Every single last person that says there's no good defense being played in today's NFL, you would be wrong. Okay, number two, New England Patriots, 87 yards passing per game. There are four teams in the NFL that allow under 200 yards passing per game. Bills, Patriots, Bears, Panthers. Right? The next team down, Browns, 49ers, Arizona, Denver, Steelers, Packers, Eagles. That is your top 10. Then you have the in 220 yards passing, you know, you would say, okay, well, the Bucs was only 238. But what I'm looking at is this top 10. Bruh, these teams are not giving up nothing. They're not giving up nothing. And that's what I'm looking at. Now, let's go to points. Now, points per game-wise, which is shocking because, bro, we gave up some points. These had to be we're actually fifth in scoring defense at 20.8 per game. That is a shocking number for me because it don't feel like it. It does not feel like we just give up 20 points per game. So, again, competition. We look at the Bucs schedule, and we played the Dolphins trash. 45-17, Bears 38-3, Giants. These are all inept offenses. Saints, you know, nine points to the Saints. The Panthers, we only gave up six. You know, that kind of makes it look a little bit better, you know. But we also gave up 36 in the loss, 29 in the loss. We gave up 31 to the Colts, the playoff teams. We gave up 27 to the Bills, playoff team. Let's see. Rams, we gave up 34 to the Rams. In week three, 29 to the Cowboys. You know, these are playoff teams. This is my argument. Playoff teams. Playoff teams, we don't do well against. I don't care about these lousy teams that we know they're not going to, you know, they're not a threat at all. But we have to show up against the teams that's going to be there in the end. The teams that we may possibly have to fight against in that playoff run. That's where we got to show up against. And until we do, I'm going to continue to say trash. I've been saying that for, hey. And that's how I respond to them now. Trash. Trash. That's all I say. I don't even get into the debate. I just say trash. Then one guy got mad and called me trash. You're trash. I was like, the defense is trash.
He's a Brady fan. He has to protect Brady all costs.
Something, man. Something. So, you know, it's to me, we just try to be real about things. We know there's a lot of fandom going on out there. We know that, you know, people are excited, but
honesty.
Yeah,
can't be honest.
You gotta be honest about things. And another argument that I was super honest about was the day we drafted Chris Godwin. I was on record to say, give me 3 years. Three years, he's going to be the best receiver on this team.
On his team, right.
And that's nothing against Evans, because Evans is a really good receiver. But Godwin does it all.
Exactly.
Evans is limited to, you know, a down of time.
He's a deep threat.
Yeah, he's a deep threat. He's a receiver that we saw at Texas A&M
right.
that made Johnny Manziel, so, you know, a number one draft pick, lay it out
busted
there.
Coverage.
And he going to get it. He's never adjusted to what he could have been. When you look at guys like Fitzgerald, you look at guys like the receiver that was in Andre Johnson when he was in Houston. Calvin Johnson.
Even Anquan Boldin.
You know, Anquan Boldin. He's never been those guys. He's never been those guys like go across the middle, take a hit, keep on going. Get up, do it again, take another hit, keep on going. I remember one hit Evans took his rookie year. And I think that might have took the life out of him. I'm just
alligator arms.
You remember that Rams game? Remember the Rams game we was playing on at night? It was a home game, and we was going down to tie the game. I think either tie it or win it. And Jameis hit him on a dart going across the middle, and he jumped up to catch it. And when he left the ground, it might have even been Weddle. Was Weddle ever on the Rams?
Was it?
No.
It could have been. I think so.
It may have been, but whoever that safety was that delivered that hit on Mike Evans changed him. Because he's never going across the middle like that ever again. He laid on the field, and Tom ended up running out because he couldn't get off the field. And I'm not going to say he's not been the same receiver, but he for somebody his size, Michael Irvin, he should be able to – Hopkins. I mean, I could go on and on with a list of guys that just do it all. So that's why I like, Godwin, coming out of Penn State, because I had watched him play. And then that bowl game he had, bro, that was one of the best bowl game performances or single game performances that we've ever seen, ever.
Right.
Watching a game of football. This dude literally just took the game over. You have almost 300 yards receiving.
Early.
Like almost.
Early.
Let me see. I'm finna. Chris Godwin. What bowl was that? Rose Bowl?
Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm.
So, Chris Godwin in this Rose Bowl, this dude was unstoppable. Unstoppable. And I said it then. I was like, you know what? We need him. Because we don't have nothing like that. We don't have nothing like that. Dude was catching the ball. Whew. One hand catches going over the middle, jumping over people, mousing them. Nine passes for 187 yards and a pair of touchdowns. One touchdown was a 30-yarder, and then another touchdown was 72 yards. You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you what's funny about some
talking
people.
About he's slow.
Yes. I was just about to say that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why me and Left Field Correspondent, we read each other mind, because this is what I was just about to say. We got fans that said this man is not fast, but yet you go look at his 40 time, and this man ran a 4.3 at his pro day. He just don't open it up because he's doing so much in the middle.
Right.
You can't open it up running in the middle. Everybody can't be freaking Tyreek Hill, man. This man is literally the road runner on the football field. He's at Top Gear. He's road runner. He's Sonic the Hedgehog, all wrapped in one. Dude, only two steps, gone.
Gone.
Again, this is why I don't understand how, who is it? Who did Kansas City beat? Okay, Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. Buffalo Bills, you had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. All you had to do was not let Tyreek Hill catch the ball. How do you? It's the same thing with the Rams and the Bucks. All you had to do was make sure Cooper Kupp didn't catch the pass, and you called a zero blitz with 30 seconds left in the game, and you allow Cooper Kupp to be 101 with a safety.
You're going to lose all day. Look at, he's still hurt.
All my life, I've played defense all my life. That one hurt because
you know they looking for your main player.
Yes, yes.
You know they looking at the main player.
You know, okay, we need Jerry Rice to get the ball. We got Deion Sanders on the other side. We trying to get the ball to Rice, and we tell Deion Sanders to go guard somebody else, and you put the number two guy on Jerry Rice. That's the kind of stuff that happened in that instance. You knew they trying to go for Cooper Kupp, but yet you put him one-on-one, zero blitz, and then after the game, this is Bruce Arians. Well, the call we made on the field, somebody didn't get the call right because not everybody came. One person missed the call and didn't blitz. So basically, you're supporting the call. I can't get down with that, man. I can't get down with that.
Your blitz are trash anyway, regardless.
Listen,
you can't even get to the quarterback.
Exactly. So Why are you going to blitz anyway when you can't even get to the quarterback? Listen. The Buccaneers, see, and this is why, here we go. Everybody on Bucs Life, this is what we do here. Now we finna get real.
You can find me.
Yeah, right?
I'm on Facebook. You can find me. Call to cool.
Yeah, so we have a defense. We got a defense that people say is so great, but yet our blitz packages are so terrible. Man, what is you doing, man? Our blitz packages are so terrible that we're not even getting to the quarterback. So to call that play at that point of the game and not get there, and then you blame, I think it was Lavonte David. He was supposed to blitz. He didn't blitz. But then you hear Matthew Stafford after the game said he noticed the call before they even snapped the ball because they showed their hand pre-snap. So he already knew where he was going with the ball. It didn't matter who was blitzing at that point.
Thank you.
Because he just got the snap, and then he held it, purposely held the ball to give Cooper Kupp enough time to get up to speed and get into that second and third move. And once he hit him with the hint-hint and your boy fell on the ground, he let it go, man. He let it go. Game over. And all that hard fighting they did to come back for a call like that to be made by an NFL defensive coordinator, bruh, as a defensive person, that hurt. That I was sitting on the couch like, what did I just witness? I know you was, and I know over half the fan base was. Like, you're not going to ever convince me that that's the proper call to make in that situation. When the goal is to keep everything in front of you. That is not, no, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. Now I'm kind of, you know, riled up and stuff, because every time I think about that, it's just like, dude, that is the dumbest play call that I've probably ever seen. And we've been on some bad Buccaneer teams, but I've never. This is why I say this defense is live by the die and die by the blitz. If we don't get there, we're just toast.
The crazy thing is, Mike Smith did the same thing.
Yeah.
He did the same thing.
Yeah.
He couldn't even get to the blitz.
Couldn't even get there.
He did the same thing. So we've been dying on supposed blitz for 7-8 years.
Yeah, and now you guys see why people like me and left field correspondent, we sitting around here, we frustrated, man. We frustrated because our problem ain't just start this year,
right,
or last year or the year before that. Bro, we've been saying this same thing about our secondary for probably about 10 years.
Yes.
And
we keep trying to revamp the secondary. No. You can revamp all you want to. You're not getting the proper player.
They try to revamp the secondary. They try to revamp the secondary, and basically they bringing in the same players they got rid of. I don't understand that. Jamal Dean, big guy, a lot of speed, get beat on the double move too much. Carlton Davis, not as big, get beat on the double move too much. Sean Murphy Bunton, couldn't make it on the outside as a corner. You try to put him in the slot, can't guard nobody. I mean, I guess you could lead the league in deflections if you get the ball thrown to you a lot, because you ain't quarterbacks picking on you.
Exactly.
Don't necessarily mean that you doing good because you're at the top of the league in deflections, but you're also at the top of the league at being one of the most targeted defensive backs. So, yeah, your pass defense number's going to be a little bit higher than somebody else that don't have as many targets.
Everybody picking on you, sir.
Yeah. Hey, it's just what it is. So, we get closer to this draft. Hopefully we do some good stuff in the draft. I'm not, you know, we don't like Jason Light. Listen, I was on the other network. I'm not going to say any names because I'm on this network here. But I was on that other place over there, that other place, and I got attacked one day when we was doing a broadcast on location, and this was the day after they extended Jason Light his first extension. So the conversation was, what do you think about Jason Light? And I said, y'all, sure y'all want me to answer this, because it may not be the answer that you looking for. And it was like, go ahead, man, and answer it. Bruh, it was me and like three other people on this panel. And they came at me like a shark on meat, because I was, you know, criticizing the general manager. I was like, bro, he ain't good. Listen, everybody in this organization got saved by Tom Brady. Everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody. Exactly. And then the argument for some people is, well, he had to build a team good enough for Tom Brady to want to be a part of this organization. I say Tom Brady wanted to leave New England. Tom Brady came here to the Bucs because the weapons receiver that he had on offense would allow him to be a championship contender. And that's exactly what happened. We still wasn't doing nothing. We still wasn't that good on defense. What happened to Shaq Barrett? You pay him a ton of money. I told you the 20-something sacks, or however many sacks he had that 1 year. That was not real because nobody had any tape. And what has he done since then? Maybe like 15 sacks in the last 2 years? He's not doing nothing. JPP, I like the dude. He plays hard. He never comes off the field. But, he's done too. He's done too. Sue did well for the time that he was here. I'm going to be the first to admit I was wrong about Sue. I didn't necessarily like Sue because of his antics that he had before he came here. He proved me wrong. He was a leader in the locker room. He was a leader on that defensive line. He did his job, and there was not one single problem from Sue from the time that he stepped on the field here to now. So, that move worked out for us. But we're an old defense. Our front line is old, and we got to get younger. And I think the best move for the Bucs is to let the young rook get in there, and you got to move on from some of these older veterans, and you got to get faster. You know, we need some youth. We need some youth, and at the end of the day, we got to get better in coverage. So, last thing, Todd Bowles becoming a head coach was not a surprise to any of us. It shouldn't have been a surprise to any of the fans, because when Bruce Arians came here, he came here with the intention on being here for so long and then having a successor in his place, which we thought was going to be either Todd Bowles or Byron Leftwich. This has already been set up and, set in motion. So that move did not surprise me. What maybe surprised me was the timing. Maybe I would have thought if he was going to do it, that he would have done it more closer to the end of the season and not now, but whatever. Now, as Todd Bowles as the head coach and the defensive coordinator, I'd rather see him just focus on being the head coach and let somebody else call the defense. That's me personally. People can say, oh, the Jets was a dumpster fire. Listen, the Jets was a dumpster fire on offense, but the Jets had some good they had some ball players on their defensive side of the ball.
They had a top 10 defense when he was there.
They had a top 10 defense on the Todd Bowles with the Jets. They had some players on that defense. That front seven that the Jets had was one of the best front sevens in all of football. And they said they weren't that bad either.
They had a lot of depth on top of it.
Yeah, and they had a lot of depth. So, but as a head coach, the responsibility to change, you got more on your plate. And as a defensive coordinator with the Jets, he struggled on the offensive side of the ball. So at that, I feel like as a head coach, you got to have your hands in everywhere. You're an overseer of the team. You bring in your assistants. You let your assistants work. You oversee the game plans. You oversee everything. So for me, for him to be successful this time around, I was more or less thinking, give up the defensive play calling duties, bring in somebody that – run your same system 3-4, but maybe they got some different ideas, some different ways they want to, go about bringing pressure, or maybe they don't rely as much on the blitz and they believe in, coverage, more coverage, bringing four and dropping everybody else in the coverage, playing more zone, and then being strategic about your blitz packages instead of being a team that blitz like 50% of the time. That's what we were this season. We was a team that relied too much on the blitz, and we weren't good in the back end to be able to be blitzing almost 50% of the time. You gotta have a Buffalo Bills type of secondary. They can do it, but we don't have that, and we won't have that for a while because you got to go and find those guys. You got to go and find them. Green Bay was one of the worst pass defenses in the league about 3 years ago, and they got rid of everybody and revamped it. They didn't bring back the same people that was getting torched. They went and they got rid of them, went and drafted, brought in some new meat, some new blood, and then 3 years later, they're one of the top teams in the league stopping the pass the last 2 years. That's how you do it. You can't improve bringing back the same players that's been getting torched. I'm sorry. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. So, you know,
and the stats don't tell too.
No,
the stats tell you what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're at the bottom of the league in defending the pass. So, I mean, people, you know, they happy that we brought back, you know, Davis and I wasn't too happy about that. I was ready to move on. I'm ready to move on from everybody in our secondary except for Winfield and the other guy that I wanted. They let go to the Jets. So, I mean, you know, whatever. We'll see though. You know, we got a little bit of time before the draft, so every week we'll come back and we'll dissect and we'll start to get in draft mode here and bring in some mock drafts. William Graves, he's the mock draft guy. He loves doing these mock drafts. I don't mess around with these mock drafts. But William, he'll do about four of them before the draft. So he'll do some, you know, left field, correspondent. You know, me and him, we're not doing the mock drafts. Boss Hogg, Sean Naylor, he'll jump on the mock draft here and there. But for us, we're the hands-on observers. So we don't waste time doing mocks. We just tell you what we think going to happen. And most of the time, it does happen. But sometimes we are wrong. We can be wrong. We're not perfect.
Very seldom.
Yeah.
Very seldom.
Hey, I tell people all the time, listen, we don't have sources. Like, you know, you go to ESPN and Fox Sports and all these networks, and they got, you know, 20 different sources and people that they can go to on the inside of these organizations, and they know everything. How come we always right? How come we're more right than they are? We don't have no sources.
We look at the tape.
We just look at the tape. I tell everybody all day long, hey, go to the tape. Just go to the tape, man. That's it. Just go to the tape. The eyes in the sky don't lie. Just go to the tape. That's why 1 year I subscribed to the NFL package and I got the All 22 film. So I was able to watch the coaches' tape every Monday and see what was happening when you got people in these groups that's saying one thing. I'm trying to tell people this is what the tape is saying. This is the coverage. This is who got beat. This is who made, you know. Like I said, I come to the table when I know I got all the facts or at least all the information, and then I'm going to present my argument. So that's how I always been. That's how you are. That's how Boss Hogg is, William, Nicholas Lane, Queen of the Rat Pack Terror, everybody. That's what we are. And if you ever get us in the same room together, I guarantee you we'll outdo all these wannabe shows. We'll outdo them all. We don't need Just give us a microphone and just say, you're on the air. I want to see that red light pop up on the screen. We are live. And then they do like this. Go. You're alive. Boom. And then just give us a table for like 2-3 hours and just let us go. And then you go turn on Colin Cowherd. Cowherd. But, you know.
A whole lot of owners going to be fired. They're going to be firing their GM.
Yeah. Well, we, you know.
A whole lot of. Like,
hey, we
really?
Just. We love what we do. We all do our homework, and this is going on year 9 for us. Year 9. William has been with us for 7. Left field has been here since the beginning, just about. This is going on year 9, and we are not exaggerating when we say. We're right about 90% of the time. Whatever we're talking about, 90% of the time, it's even stuff that you guys don't know. Like, we have our own private chat, you know, that we discuss stuff in. Bro, we're like sometimes we'd be like weeks ahead of what's being reported. We're talking about this stuff in our private chats. And then, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, it's happening. It happens. And then Boss Hogg, you, me, all of us saying, man, we've been talking about this for 2 weeks. We ain't got no sources. But yet, it's just common sense, man. It's just common sense, man. So, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate y'all tuning in to the show. My man, left field correspondent, y'all see the eye, man. You know, William Graves had to get out of there. My man, Nicholas Lane, NBA insider, was on earlier with us.
And Nicky Bucket.
Talking NBA, and he's going to have his article coming out here with his, I forget the name, Anthony Davis All-Stars, which I suggest everybody check that out when they get posted. We will be back Sunday night, but Sunday night will be Rat Pack Sports Show audio, just streaming only. We won't do this video on Sundays. We do the videos on Wednesdays. So this Sunday we'll be back. You can find us, ratpacksports.com. You can download our, you know, podcast right there, Rat Pack Sports Show at podbean.com. You can, find us on Spotify. You can find us our podcast on iHeart as well. And you can find an app. You can download TuneIn. And you can find us there as well. And you can also find us on the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. So
you can find me at Carlton Cook on Facebook at Venmo. Zelle or Cash App.
This man. Oh, this man say Venmo, Zelle or Cash App. This man, hey, that man needs donations, man. He's trying to get back to Florida. Oh boy.
Change for the poor.
Oh boy. All right, man. Hey, left field, you know I love you, brother. Family.
Love you too, brother.
And we will see y'all next Wednesday night. Until then, y'all take care. This is the Rat Pack Sports Show, man. We're signing out. We will see y'all on the flip side. Peace.